Morning, everyone, and welcome to the May Day meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. And we are convened at the moment as the subcommittee until we're joined by one other member. We're going to start right in because we have some very busy senators with us who are here to talk about two different pieces of legislation. So I think I'll start by opening a public hearing on HCR 25. And Lori, would you tell us briefly what this is?
I'd be happy to, Madam Chair. House Concurrent Resolution 25 expresses support for designation of the fourth Saturday of July as a National Day of the Cowboy. Came over from the House on a 59-aye vote with one excuse. There's no revenue or fiscal impact.
And good morning, Senator Witsit. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Beyer. For the record, I'm Senator Doug Witsit, representing Senate District 28, which is most or all of five central southern Oregon counties. HCR 25 highlights the importance of ranching as one of the largest economic industries in Oregon. Agriculture is Oregon's second largest industry. The combined beef and dairy cattle industry is far and away the biggest segment of the agricultural enterprise in Oregon. The cowboy is an integral part of that iconic industry. Cowboy is more than just a name. It's really more than cowboy hat and big buckle and boots. It's a way of life where wealth, elegant titles, and fancy trappings are really not important. Cowboy is a title that is earned through a life of dedication, hard work, and sacrifice. A lifestyle where the care of his livestock and his horses and his dogs is second only to his family, truly. Cowboy's word is his bond. If he says he'll be there, he'll be there. If he says he'll do something for you, you can count on it. If he says he has your back, well, then he has your back. When a deal is agreed upon, there is no need for anything more than a handshake. Often written contracts are frowned on. $500,000 worth of livestock is often traded on a handshake. It doesn't make any difference if the market's up a dime tomorrow or down a dime next week. A deal's been made and it will be honored. It's interesting, cowboys are pleased to have their name used as a mascot, like the Cook County High School Cowboys and Cowgirls. They're pleased because they know the name is used as an expression of trust and of respect. It is the dedication and the sacrifice of cowboys that make our Oregon ranching communities the world-class economic engine that helps drive Oregon's economy. So, Madam Chair, Senator Byers, I respectfully request your support of HCR 25.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Senator, for bringing this before us. And I noticed, actually, in our capable staff's background on the bill, that when this was first introduced in Congress for a national designated day, which has now happened, that it was Congresswoman Gabby Gifford, who was just here in Salem on another issue last Saturday, I guess, Friday, with her husband, who was
Arizona is a big cattle raising area as well. And interestingly, Klamath County is the largest cattle raising county in Oregon by quite a bit. So, but thank you very much for your attention this morning.
Great. Any questions for the senator before we let him get off to his other duties?
I want to know where Senator Starr got his tan.
Pardon me?
Do you want to move the resolution?
Oh, yeah. Now we have quorum. So I will close the public hearing, open a work session on House Concurrent Resolution 25. And Senator Starr, with the musical accompaniment, do you have a motion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move House Concurrent Resolution 25 be to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Does it have a B?
To be adopted?
No.
It's just be adopted.
Yeah. I left off the two.
Okay. Senator Starr has moved HCR 25 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Mm-hmm.
Any objection?
Mm-hmm.
Motion carries, and we will ask Senator Whitsitt to carry this on the floor. I'll close the work session on HCR 25, and I'll open a public hearing and work session on HCR 28. Senator Winters, if you'd like to come forward. Yes, and Lori, would you tell us briefly what this is?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Concurrent Resolution 28 designates September 5th, 2014 as Saxon Day to recognize South Salem High School's tradition of excellence. It came across over from the House with 59 aye votes and one excused, and there's no revenue or fiscal impact to the measure.
Good morning, Senator Winters.
Good morning.
Happy May 1st.
For the record, I'm State Senator Jackie Winters, and I represent District 10. And just to talk about Gabby Gifford for a little bit, she was here on Friday with Mark Kelly, and I did attend the event here in Salem. It was a Medicist sponsored event, and in this community, that particular event brings in lots of motivational speakers to raise money in order to provide medication and medical services to the uninsured. So it was a sellout, just so you know, and I did get an opportunity to meet Gabby. In fact, my plans are, I had a photo with her. I'm going to send a copy of it to our senator, former Senator Jason Atkinson, because he was quite fond of Gabby, and I did share that with her.
Indeed.
So now I'm here this morning on House Concurrent Resolution 28, and I have to qualify. I'm a proud mother and grandmother of South High, so I'm a very strong supporter of the Saxons, so just so you know. And they are very much the school of excellence. And as you will note, and I won't go through all of the reasons, because I think they're spelled out in the resolution. But as a mom, I can tell you, I had my granddaughter was a part of the choir that took state in 2010. And the resolution talks about, you know, the excellence that they do, not only in choir, but also in athletics. And, of course, we're extremely proud of the fact of their national honors. And when you look at the academic success of South High, I think truly they deserve to be recognized and to be honored with the Saxon Day. You know, those of us who are not only parent but support education, and I think all of us do, because we want to make certain that all of our kids achieve the best. And this is one of those ways of saying to our educational community and to our schools, we applaud the excellence that you do. And certainly South High here in Salem is well deserving of that distinction.
Great. Well, thank you for bringing this forward, Senator Winters. And it looks like that you are flanked
here
by a wonderful group from the school, so we'll have them come forward next. Thank you for being. And Senator Berger, would you like to come forward? We've just heard from Senator Winters.
Oh, good. Thank you. I just told him all the great things about my kids when they were there.
Oh, okay.
For the record, Vicki Berger, State Representative. Thank you, members of the committee. Madam Chair, this particular HCR is near and dear to me because I believe I am the only currently seated member of the legislature who is a graduate of South Salem High School. Went there, I guess I could admit the year. It was a long time ago.
I'm sure we could find it if you don't want to.
It was a classic year, 1967. And it was a great school then, a very crowded school then. It was just before Salem started building new high schools, and it was I think there were 1,800 students in that school when I came in three classes. It was huge. But we managed to manage that, and I got a great education there, and it continues to be one of the great high schools in the state. I'm proud of my association with it, and I'm really proud of the students who brought this forward. They've worked really hard, and I commend it to you. I think it's an excellent thing to have South Salem Day, and I'm glad to see that your committee administrator is wearing Saxon blue.
Saxon blue. Oh. I knew all along that.
And I apologize that I didn't manage to find any Saxon blue this But I will be sure that Senator Winters is dressed in appropriate Saxon colors when and if.
On September 5th.
Yeah, on September 5th.
That also is Brian's birthday.
Oh, good. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much for being here and for reminiscing about your high school days. Okay, so we will next hear from the student panel. Thank you both, and we'll let you get off to your duties.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we will hear from Mackenzie LeSavage, Jasmine Cruz, and Colin Hune. They'd all like to be seated. And then just whichever of you wants to start off, introduce yourself and tell us a little more.
Okay. Dear Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Mackenzie LeSavage, and I am a junior at South Salem High School. South Salem High School is an impeccable school that is approaching its 60th year of excellence. Our American government class at South Salem is working to pass this resolution, HCR 28, commending the school for its excellent history and accomplishments. Through this project, the American government class is learning about the legislative process. The resolution works to instill South Salem Saxon Day on September 5th of 2014. We appreciate your hearing HCR 28 and asking that you and your committee support the resolution. South Salem High School is one out of 19 schools in Oregon and the only school in Salem to offer the International Baccalaureate program. 53% of South Salem High School juniors and seniors are enrolled in the International Baccalaureate program. In 1987, South Salem High School was honored as a Blue Ribbon School, and this is one of the highest honors bestowed to a school in the United States. In athletics, South Salem High School has won 19 state championships in 11 different sports. South Salem High School has been awarded 14 director's trophies throughout the 33-year existence of the award. South Salem is the only school in Oregon's history to win football and tennis state championships in the first year of the school being open. South Salem has a strong DECO program, which builds leaders and entrepreneurs. There are 150 students involved at South Salem in that DECO program. In 2012, South had 12 finalists in the international competition, all placing within the top 16. At the State Career Development Conference, South Salem wins approximately 3/4 of all possible awards.
Hello, Madam Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name is Colin Hune. I'm a junior at South Salem High School, and I would like to thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'm glad to share with this committee the accomplishments of our culinary program, music program, tradition, and history. Our culinary program is unique, award-winning, and inspiring. Many South Salem High School students reach out to the culinary program because the culinary teacher is a former chef. He teaches the students to obtain skills that are not available anywhere else in Salem. He allows them to experience and deal with the pressure of being a chef. Our culinary team is very well trained, and they have competed at the national competition 5 times and won the Oregon Pro Star High School Culinary Championship. After all the hard work and commitment the students put into the culinary program, the students are rewarded with scholarships to pursue their career. South Salem High School's music program has outstanding accomplishments. It's one of the best examples of our school's history of excellence. South Salem's orchestra and jazz choir are two of the best in the state. Our school has been honored with a gold-plated music program and has won 32 state championships. The music program won first place with both band and choir at the first state competition. South Salem High School has won 2 Grammy Awards and is a Grammy Signature School Gold recipient. Our history and tradition at our school has been full of excellence. South Salem High School has various accomplishments which have led to the successful graduates whom have profoundly profited in the community. Each student has benefited from something that the school offers and would like to see a day implemented to commend the school for its excellence. Thank you for your time and consideration. We ask that you adopt HCR 28. We are happy to answer any questions you have for us.
Please go ahead. Members of the committee, my name is Jasmine Cruz. I am a junior at South Salem High School, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I would like to say some of you should ask yourself why South Salem High School deserves to get this resolution passed, and we think every school should be recognized for their accomplishments and excellence, and this has been a really great learning experience that every student should go through, and we are putting together a digital notebook so we can show the steps of this process that we have taken. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you all for your testimony. It's certainly, I've known about Salem High School and music accomplishments, but I had no idea that such a high proportion of kids were in IB, which is really very impressive. So, any questions for these young people? Yeah, go ahead, Senator Starr.
I really appreciate you coming, and I really appreciate your testimony. You guys did a fantastic job this morning, so thank you. So, is there something super special about the 5th of September? Why that day?
There isn't necessarily. September 5th, yeah, it was almost the date that our school was open. It was 1954,
perfect.
So it's like close to that day.
Oh, the anniversary,
60th
yeah.
60th anniversary.
That's okay. Great.
So.
Perfect, wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, terrific. That makes it even better. So good question, Senator Starr. Okay, well, thank you very much for being here and taking time out of your, I assume, your school day.
Yes.
Oh, it's a bummer to miss school, huh?
Yeah. Great. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think I had opened this as a work session. So we are in a work session. Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, I move House Concurrent Resolution 28 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
And Senator Farioli has moved HCR 28 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. And I believe we will ask Senators Winters and if Senator Cornett wishes to co-carry to be our carriers on the floor, and I'll close the work session. And next, I'll open a public hearing and work session on House Concurrent Resolution 21 and House Concurrent Resolution 22. And Lori, would you like to tell us about these?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Concurrent Resolution 21 honors Helmuth Reeling for his achievements as artistic director of the Oregon Bach Festival. It came over from the House with a 60-0 vote, and there's no revenue or fiscal impact on that measure. House Concurrent Resolution 22 honors H. Royce Saltzman for his work on the Oregon Bach Festival. That came over from the House as well with a 60-0 vote. There is no revenue or fiscal impact on that measure either.
Great. Thank you very much, Lori. And we have a couple of folks signed up to testify on this. And so if you'd like to just introduce yourself and go ahead and tell us about them.
Chair Rosenbaum, committee members, for the record, my name is Sonia Carlson, and I am Representative Barnhart's Chief of Staff. Representative Barnhart cannot be here today because he's chairing the Revenue Committee, so he asked me to read the statement on his behalf. These resolutions honor Roy Saltzman and Helmuth Reeling, who have been successful collaborators for 4 decades on the Oregon Bach Festival. They met almost by accident in Stuttgart, Germany, at a rehearsal and started their work together with a master class at the University of Oregon School of Music the next summer. Together, they developed the concept of a music festival that combined large-scale performances with orchestra and choir and smaller ensembles for chamber music, solo instrument, and voice performances. Performing mostly music of Johann Sebastian Bach and many other classical composers. The genius of the Oregon Bach Festival is combining wonderfully performed music that brings audiences from all over the world to Oregon and high-quality music education that brings teachers and student musicians from all over the world. All of this for 3 weeks every summer centered in Eugene, but with concerts throughout the state. Helmuth developed a career as the preeminent Bach conductor in the world. As his fame grew, he returned to Oregon every year, and the festival prospered. Royce, as a member of the U of O music faculty and expert on choir, became the executive director who brought it all together every year. Royce, who still lives in Eugene, retired several years ago, but is still active in the festival. And Helmuth retires this year as a musical director and at age 80, but will still continue to be involved. And that's part of why he decided to bring these to you this year. Madam Chair, members of the committee, these resolutions are in honor of these two men who brought their considerable talent together to build an educational and performance institution at the University of Oregon, from a few ideas and building to an institution being known around the world. Rep. Barnhart commends these resolutions to your consideration. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Farioli, members of the committee, my name is Rebecca Ball, and I'm here on behalf of the University of Oregon and the Oregon Bach Festival. I would just add that Reelin and Saltzman built the Oregon Bach Festival from a budget of $2,500 in 1970 to a budget of $2.8 million now, with an annual economic impact to the state of $6 million, and it draws about 35,000 audience members each year. It grew out of the University of Oregon Music Festival and is now known around the world. The Los Angeles Times recently described it as a musical enterprise virtually without equal in the United States. And even more, the musical education programs are a model for the rest of the country. So we think their life's work has had a significant impact to the culture and the economy of Oregon, and we strongly support the recognition of these individuals.
Great. Well, thank you for your testimony, both of you. Any questions? Yes, go ahead, Senator Beyer.
Yeah, just a comment to those who, perhaps on the committee, who haven't made it to the festival. It is truly a marvelous event, and not only just the performances, but the educational opportunities, and they often reach out into the schools in the area and expose the children to very much world-class people, and Mr. Reelin is one of the world's greatest conductors in the Bach area, and the fact that he comes from Germany every year to do this and has for 40 years is just amazing. It's a wonderful event.
Thank you for your comment, Senator Beyer. And I was going to ask you, there must be by now an incoming director for the festival. Do you happen to know who that is?
I don't, but I can follow up with you on that.
It's a tough act to follow after
very
that
tough
long.
Act to follow.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you both for being here. And we are in a work session.
Your time.
Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, do you have work sessions open on both HCR 21 and 22?
We do.
Madam Chair, I move House Concurrent Resolution 21 to the floor with the adopted recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved HCR 21 to the floor with the adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. And I think since Senator Edwards is a chief sponsor, we'll ask him. Oh, he wants to do the other one. Okay, so we can ask Senator Beyer or Senator Prozanski. Do you care? Okay, we'll ask Senator Prozanski to carry it since he's a chief sponsor of these. And I'll close the work session on HCR 21. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move House Concurrent Resolution 22 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved HCR 22 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. And I think we will ask Senator Edwards to carry this one on the floor. And I'll close the work session on HCR 22. And that brings us to Senate Bill 147. So I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 147. Lori, would you refresh our memory about what this is?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 147 was before you on the 10th of April for a public hearing. It specifies the time frame for filing the candidate portrait and statement in the voter's pamphlet, specifies the deadline for filing signatures in lieu of pamphlet fees, modifies the placement of the disclaimers, it revises language pertaining to withdrawal of material for that pamphlet, and requires statements and arguments to be filed electronically with their Secretary of State, and expressly provides rulemaking authority to the Secretary for purpose of verification of active elective signatures on the petition. There's no revenue impact, and we did not have, or the committee did not have paperwork from the fiscal office. We do now, and it's before you, and there's a minimal fiscal impact on the measure.
Thank you, Lori. So members, you'll remember that we heard this back on April 10th, didn't have the paperwork, so we weren't ready to move it at that time. Now we have the paperwork, and it looks like everything's in order. Senator Farioli, did you have a question?
I have several questions, Madam Chair.
Okay. I have not seen them, but I'm assuming we have copies of them here.
I can ask them, okay. Madam Chair, and share.
Are you addressing them to the Elections Division?
Or? I would be, Madam Chair.
Okay. It looks like we have the Elections Division just now in the room, so if somebody would like to come forward, that would be great.
Just as soon as they call the bill up.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Steve Trout, State Election Director. Happy to answer your questions.
Senator Farioli, you have the
floor. Thank you, Madam Chair. One is just a very practical question. In the current electronic version, if you go online to file a voter's pamphlet statement, you can press a button marked Save, and if you fail to press the button marked Send, what happens is that there's a record of your filing, but it's not a filing. It's happened a couple of times, at least in the last election cycle, and people were, I could guess, nearly suicidal at discovering after the filing date had passed that they had no voter's pamphlet statement, even though a review of the electronic fingerprints left in the system, the program system, clearly indicated they were in the system, on the right page, had all of the documentation loaded into the machine, but didn't actually push the right button to send. This is a little tiny technical glitch, but it's got huge consequences for people. And I guess what I'd like to hear is what kind of safeguards are being built into the system to guard against technologically induced errors like this, where the operator may only encounter this program once in a lifetime, assuming they don't get through the primary process. Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, I appreciate that, and we continually look at
and
our...
Mr. Trout, just introduce yourself for the record.
You did.
Did you already? I didn't.
I did, but I'm happy to do it again. Steve Trout, State Election Director. We continually look at our online forms and any interactions we have with the public to try to make them as simple and easy to understand and easy to execute as possible. And this is one of the areas that we are looking at how we can provide better instructions and to ensure that people know that pressing save is not enough and that they actually have to have send. At the same time, we want them to be able to save the submission. If they're pondering it or thinking about different language or just testing that, we want them to be able to have a way to save that. But we continue to look at ways that we can make those instructions clearer and make it possible for people to know, make sure that they know all of the steps that they need to go through. We have that with most of our online forms, that we're continually taking feedback from problems that we hear from the public and trying to accommodate that and make it as simple as possible.
Additional question?
Well, I appreciate the user-friendly attitude. The question is, what safeguards are going to be built into the system so people can't walk or leave the page with the impression they filed when they really haven't filed?
So, Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, one of the things that we can look at or we have been looking at is, can we send a receipt once it's received, so that they would know that. I mean, part of the problem is those people that wait until the last hour to make those filings, and then, you know, even if we have a receipt that's sent right away, we still have some problems. But, you know, we're looking at different ways that we can provide information to people to know either they've completed the process or there's still steps to happen before the deadline. But would be happy to hear, you know, other suggestions and recommendations to improve that, because again, that's our intent. We want people to be able to succeed.
Madam Chair, I think the receipt idea is a great idea. As a matter of fact, even with the electronic filing opportunity and other documents, we don't consider a document filed until there's a paper trail, you know, with a date stamp on it, particularly documents like the verified annual statement of economic interest. That, you know, that's
don't bring that up.
Don't want to be like that was the most recent date.
Madam Chair and Senator Farrelly, can I add something before you move to your next question?
Sure, please do.
I think it might be useful to also say when someone saves it, to have a little flag there that say, this is not yet sent. This is saved but not sent. And that would send a message. And I also like the receipt idea. I think that's a point I hadn't really considered before, Senator Farrelly.
Excellent suggestion, Madam Chair. Saved but not sent. Yeah. Good flag. That's good. Madam Chair, I have a couple other tiny little technicals. In Section 2, Item 3, you described the size of the document, the portrait. There's an absolute limitation on the number of words. And I guess what I'm concerned about or curious about is why are there changes in the portrait size or the length of the statement? You know, we know that you can't exceed 325 words, and everybody has allotted the same space. Yet there's a rule that allows the Secretary of State to prescribe the size of the space. And it just seems to me that you're describing the minimums, but then you're also giving yourself rulemaking authority to change it.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, that section is, given the new movement to online filings, people will submit different pictures in different sizes and different resolutions. And so a lot of times we will have to take those photos and expand them, and it will distort them a little bit. And so we're just trying to be more flexible in the pictures that we can accept. And that would be the purpose of any rulemaking, would be to be able to accept more variables in photo size of the online submission, so that it can be printed in the same size throughout, but that it won't lose any resolution or have to be squished or expanded.
Okay, and Madam Chair, just there must have been some reason to change from certified to verified throughout the bill. What was the reason for doing that? Things are now not certified, they're verified.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, I think that was submitted by counsel, but I'll have to review that and get back. The process should not change.
Madam Chair, we can beat that out of counsel offline. I'm just curious about why the change. Yeah. There had to be a reason. And then finally, Madam Chair, we have new rulemaking authority in Section 3D and Section 6.2A, which has vests in the Secretary of State rulemaking authority about verifying whether a petition submitted under the subsection contains the required number of signatures. I thought that was pretty prescribed in law. Why do we need new rulemaking authority vested in the Secretary of State?
So, Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, it is well-versed in other sections of election law, but not specific to these petitions. And so we just wanted to make that uniform.
Could we not have made reference to the other clearly defined procedures as opposed to creating a new rulemaking authority?
Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, that's, you know, I'm sure we could do that. We were just trying to give us the authority to be able to use the same rules that we have, that we could just go through our normal process so that all of those rules are go through the same process and procedure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just hope that the Secretary of State realizes that people minutely scrutinize every change proposed for election law, particularly if new rulemaking authority is being granted. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. And just to clarify one point that you made, I think it is very clear in this bill that the word limit cannot be changed by rulemaking. It's in the statute. The number 325 is in the statute, so regardless of the rulemaking to implement that section, things that are specified in the statute can't be altered by rulemaking.
Madam Chair, you have made my point better than I made it. The idea is that we're granting rulemaking authority in a place where it isn't an authority that can be used. Thank you.
But there are other aspects that are...
That's what worries me,
making
Madam
things
Chair.
Fit. Making things
That's
fit
what raises my concern.
So.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Stark.
Thank you. I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you bringing the bill. I guess I'm a little concerned about moving completely to all electronic. And I'm kind of with Senator Farioli, kind of like to walk away with a date stamp document that proves that something's been delivered and received. So it makes me nervous. I mean, just for instance, I can walk up to the in the airline and, you know, on my smartphone, scan a barcode or a QR code and get on the plane. Or I can print off my boarding pass at home and walk in with a piece of paper. I've never used my phone because I'm always afraid my phone's going to die, or, you know, I'm not going to be able to pull up that document when I'm standing up there in line, and I really want to get on that airplane.
Because it happens.
I'm a little nervous about going to all electronic. And, you know, we do live in the 21st century, and you got to believe if somebody's running for an office that's going to submit a voter's pamphlet statement portrait that they're going to be electronically capable of doing this. Can you just provide additional assurance? I mean, we've kind of had that conversation already, that if somebody can prove that they went through the steps to submit the documents, the required photos, the required statement, that the Secretary of State will honor those actions that are taken, so that, you know, so statements and photos don't get lost in electronic never land somewhere.
Madam Chair, Senator Starr, our intent is clearly we want to get those statements and be able to accept them. And so if someone goes through the process and, you know, there's an error in the transmission on our receipt, we don't want to hold that against the voter. That being said, if they waited until 12:10 a.m. When the deadline was 11:59, you know, that we're gonna take a hard line on, or if somebody wants to amend it or change it after the deadline, the same rules and restrictions would apply as on paper, that we have to have a cutoff because we have hard printing deadlines for the voter's pamphlet and preparations there. But if someone hits submit and does that before the deadline, then we should be able to accept that and make ways to be able to accept those filings if there was if that error was on our part. We don't want anyone to be disadvantaged because of they did everything right before the deadline and we weren't able to accept it.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Beyer.
Just following up on that, I think the idea of a receipt is probably adds comfort to most of our generation. You know, I think some of the I'm always amazed at the young people going to the going through the gate and showing the QR and having that work. I would never do that. It's just a trust level, and it's because I'm too old. But I think that makes sense. I have encountered that issue, and we've talked before, Steve, with the OurStar program of hit and file and. not hitting it enough times, and I recognize that. But I think that receipt is a good idea. I would think, though, that Senator Starr, to us, most of us who file that stuff, if we filed it electronically, are probably anal enough that we make the follow-up call and say, did you get it?
Yeah.
I've always found the election staff to be very good and very helpful.
Madam Chair, Senator Byers, thank you. We appreciate that. We want people to have confidence in what they're doing, and if we can provide a way for people to have confidence that their filing was received so that they don't have to call us or send us a letter to ask if it was received, that helps us as well.
Okay, any other questions?
Madam Chair, I'm just really impressed with the idea that Senator Burdick brought to the table, which was a flag that comes up that says file not sent, which you actually have to click a button to get away from before you can close that file. That's a brilliant idea. That would stop a lot of the anxiety that people who need a note pinned it to their lapel to go to the airport have on electronic filings. So I would just suggest that if that doesn't cause too much consternation, that would be a mega improvement in the way the system works.
We will look into that.
Like many of these things, it's probably easier to talk about than to program.
Yeah, I don't know.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much for being here today. Okay, members, we are in a work session. Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, having put our questions on the record and observing the committee's brilliant suggestions for improvements, I move Senate Bill 147 to the floor, the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 147 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? The motion carries. And we have a volunteer to carry this on the floor. Okay, then the chair will carry it on the floor. And I'll close the work session and open a work session on Senate Bill 154. Lori.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 154 was also before you on the 10th of April and also did not have the complete paperwork. We do have that now, and it's attached to your SMS. This measure essentially extends the current requirement for registration, training, and certification of that training beyond the individual paid signature gatherers to now include entities or organizations that hire and pay those individual signature gatherers. There's no revenue or fiscal impact to the measure.
Thank you, Lori. So the paperwork is complete on this measure. Members, we are in a work session. We heard it back on April 10th. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I hate to be a pest, but I have one question that I'd like to ask of the folks from the Elections Division.
Okay, if you'd like to come forward again. Go ahead, Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In this proposal, we see paid petition gatherers treated differently than volunteer gatherers. But in the instance of a paid petition gatherer who is working on multiple petitions, do we need to do a background check for each petition that's filed, or will one suffice?
Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, one background check per 2-year period will suffice.
And just a quick follow-up, Madam Chair,
I don't mean to interrupt you, Senator Farioli, but I do want to clarify, we have another bill dealing with background checks. This is not that bill.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
So I don't know whether you're asking about this bill or the other bill.
Well, I'm actually asking about any bill that requires background checks, but thank you for the clarification, Madam Chair. Are you asking me whether the question is germane to the issue?
Just curious if it does pertain to this bill. I don't have a problem with you clarifying something on another bill, but this is not—it's not in this bill.
Well, Madam Chair, the measure expands the authority of the Secretary of State to prevent forgery and fraudulent activity by requiring background checks. So I thought it was germane. Just curious about that. Thank you, Madam Chair. That answers my question. I'll have questions on the other bill as well.
Any other questions for the folks from the Elections Division while they're up here? Okay.
And I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I did not identify myself for the record on that one. So Steve Trout, State Election Director.
Great. We all always think you could have changed identity on us.
Did you?
Sure. Thanks again. Okay, and we are in a work session.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 154 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 154 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. And do we have a volunteer to carry this bill on the floor? Okay. Well, if no one's in the volunteering mood, I guess I'll carry it too. So the chair will carry this bill. And I will close the work session. And Lori, do we have anything further to come before us this morning? Okay, then we are adjourned. Thank you.